Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And with us now for the first time on this show, the new owner of the Boston Celtics, Bill Chisholm. Bill, good morning. Thanks for taking time out to join us on the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We are just over $3 million donated since we began yesterday at 6. And Celtics have a long history of supporting this, being a part of it with the Red Sox and supporting Dana-Farber. And I'm sure you got the lay of the land when you got here, and it's important for you that the team continues that support.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, I don't know, you probably know, I grew up on the North Shore, and some of my early memories are going to Red Sox games in those red boxes. So I've put a few quarters in there over the years, and even in the Celtics, you know, this gives me a chance to be even more involved, and really, really excited to do so. And, you know, I look at the connection between, you know, these sports teams in Boston and philanthropy, and I think you know, the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund, that set the standard and, you know, really pioneered for all the teams in Boston. And, you know, Celtics with the Shamrock Foundation kind of followed the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund lead. So it's real exciting to be on here with you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, there's the long legacy of Celtics players getting active in the community and doing things. How does the team instill that when it comes to these? But maybe they don't have to. Maybe it's just natural with guys. But how do the Celtics make that a big part of what these guys do?
Yeah. I mean, I think you kind of hit on it a little bit. It's first. It really starts with picking the right guys. When we look at players, I mean, the first question I ask is about the character of the players. And so I think the folks we bring in have that to begin with, because, you know, there's a bigger job than just, you know, putting the basketball in the hoop. It's being a good teammate. It's being a good member of the community. And we'd certainly screen for that on the way in. And then I think the other thing I'd say is, you know, to instill it, you know, it's a lot of leading by example. And if you look at, you know, what you look at Jason and Jalen and Derek and those guys, they're out in the community. They're doing their part. And I think that sets an example for the younger guys. And, you know, it's a little subtle thing, but you may or may not notice the first thing that, you know, when the rookies come in, they don't do a press conference. They go out and do a community event. So you see Chris and Dylan out there, you know, a month ago or so. That's really important. And I think we start with the right people, and then we instill it with, you know, with that leadership with the older guys. And yeah, it's an important part of the job.
You brought up growing up on the North Shore, being a Celtics fan. You bought this team exactly a year ago tomorrow, I believe. Has owning a franchise been what you expected it would be like?
Yeah, I mean it's been a crazy year for me and my family, and it's a good chance to reflect and be grateful for where we are. I've been literally living the dream. You know, a year 18 months ago, I'm in my driveway doing pump up videos, you know, pregame pump up videos in front of our old basketball hoop for my family, and here we are. So it's been an amazing experience, certainly exceeded expectations. I'm just a lot of joy for our family and friends, and that's been great. You know, I, and so certainly exceeded expectations. But you know, it's been been hard too. You know, this summer was, you know, some really, really tough decisions and ones that, you know, kind of broke my heart personally. So, I expected it to be hard. I expected it to be some hard decisions. I guess I didn't necessarily think it would happen quite so quickly and with such magnitude, but and it just a crazy year and so grateful to have had this year and looking forward to a lot more.
So when you talk about heartbreak, Brad comes to you and says, hey, here's what we're thinking with Jalen. You talked in that press conference about sort of almost needing to be convinced Is it hard to separate? Is it hard to separate the fan part of you from the owner part of you when it comes to making that decision?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. It's one that, I struggled with at the time. And like you said, I truly believe we have the best, you know, front office in the NBA. And I think it's a source of, you know, of advantage for us, every day. And so I definitely have a level of trust in Brad and his team. But man, as a fan, that was tough. And I really, you know, I really need to be convinced and, you know, to take the fan passion out of it, because I'm a super fan, was tough. And to frankly, you know, not, and to put aside the, and you know, you have to kind of be, I think you had to be a sociopath if you don't worry a little bit about what other people, the other fans are going to think. And so to put all that to the side and just, you know, do the job. I step back and realize, you know, you have a responsibility, you know, to protect and advance the legacy of the Celtics. And, you know, we've got the best, you know, brains in basketball. And this is something that they had conviction around. And, you know, I needed to be convinced, and that's my job, but they did convince me, and, you know, we did it, and we did it with conviction. And I think, you know, we'll see where it goes, but we feel good about it. But you know, all that stuff is tough. I mean, it's really tough on a personal level. I really, really like Jalen as a person, as a, you know, the role he played in the community, and obviously the role he played on the court, you know, will be sorely missed.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill, speaking of Brad, to buy a team with such great leadership like Brad Stevens, like Joe Mazzulla, what's that working relationship been like this past year, and where do you see the future with the three of you?
Yeah, I mean, I should have mentioned Joe as a source of, you know, real, you know, advantage for us, because he's tremendous. You know, I would say, you know, just first of all, for me onboarding, you know, I look around, you know, you see, I don't, you know, other teams, and, you know, they have turnover and, you know, kind of, you know, replacing folks here and there. I mean, this was pretty seamless for me to come in and have, you know, A+ people, you know, throughout the organization. And, you know, it's the Boston Celtics. I mean, we should have that quality and that, you know, kind of that excellence in the leadership, and we certainly have it. And that's made it, you know, much, much easier onboarding for me. And, you know, one of the things that, you kind of realize is you realize you don't know as much as you think you do when you come in the door. And thank goodness that these guys were here to help onboard me. And you know, as I said in my original press conference, I want to do this in a, you know, collaborative way. I'm looking to them to, you know, to make recommendations, and, you know, I'll pressure test those, but it's been great. And they're really great basketball minds. And, you know, on top of that, they're really good people and folks that I really, really have enjoyed working with. And I think they stand for what the Celtics should stand for, is that, you know, that commitment to excellence and doing it, you know, with real leadership and real, you know, real character. So it's been fantastic.
Bill, you talk about your passion and your love, but understanding you're also an owner. As a fan, a diehard fan, I think the most important thing is seeing another banner get raised and put up in those rafters. For us fans out here, what in your mind, what do you believe that you want to see with the Celtics team? And are you willing to do whatever it takes to, you know, put this team in a position where they can raise another banner with you as the owner?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I said before, and I'll say it again. I mean, we're not playing for second. We're playing, we're playing to win and to raise banners. And, you know, someone joked and called me, was calling me at the beginning Billy Banners because I said that. And, you know, that is, I want to earn that. I want to earn that, and I haven't yet. And, we have, I think, you know, we have the ingredients to do it, and certainly the commitment, and you have, you know, the fans and the organization has a commitment for me. We'll do whatever it takes. And I'm desperate to win. And I mean, it's the Boston Celtics, and so we should, and we will.
Bill, a lot of people a year ago thought the sale price was astronomical when you guys, when you led the group that purchased this team. Well, I don't think they're saying that anymore after the Lakers sale. What did you make of that sale, and what does that do for your valuation of the franchise?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty nutty. I want to say this, but I don't want to sound, you know, out of touch, but like, I don't really care, that's the Lakers. This is the Celtics. It's out of my control. And frankly, you know, I'm not going anywhere, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, if you're selling the team, if you're, you know, then sure, maybe that's a consideration, but I'm in this for the long haul. So yeah, it's nice for the headlines and stuff, but for, you know, the day to day around the Boston Celtics, that doesn't really matter. And I'm not focused on that. And, but it is, it's pretty nutty.
We love that answer. That's awesome. It would be, speaking of down the road, it would be a long time down the road, but do you need to have your own building to compete financially in this league?
But I do think we need to have an arena that kind of creates, you know, is consistent with the, you know, the quality of and the excellence of the Celtics. And we need to have, you know, to create, you know, the best fan and player experience we can. And do we need to own the building to do that? No, but we certainly need to have, you know the ability to influence that agenda. I mean, if we need to own the building to do it, we'll do that. But I think the other thing is, you know, when you do that, you got to make sure that you're not losing focus on what matters. You're not in the business of, you know, running an arena. You're in the business of running a world-class basketball team that, you know, is putting up banners. That's the true north. That's what we need to work towards. And if owning the building needs to be part of that, then great. But it's not a necessary thing. And, you know, I think we've got a really good partner right now on that front. So, and we've got a really good location. So just making sure that, you know, that we're all aligned around that objective, which is, you know, to create the best fan and player experience possible and make sure we don't lose focus on what really matters, which is putting up banners.
Last one from me, Celtics, Knicks, now the 76ers. Is this the best division? Is this the best division in basketball?
I mean, that's a pretty impressive mix. And, you know, I think the entire league is upgraded. So I'm not sure, you know, how that really is going to stack up. That's why you play the games and we'll see what happens. But what I am sure of is it's a good thing because we need that. We need that competition. We need that competition every night, and we need to become, you know, playoff ready because we haven't gotten it done the last 2 years. And, you know, I just don't think you can, you know, kind of glide through the regular season and expect to turn a switch in the playoffs. We need to, you know, get out there every night and get after it. And we need to play, you know, tough opponents. And so, you know, bring it on.
Bill, it's been awesome having you on. Thank you for joining us. I know how important this event is to the Celtics, to you, and the support for the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund is awesome. So we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, you bet. And thank you guys for all you're doing. And yeah, appreciate having the chance to catch up. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Good luck.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you guys.
We got to take a thanks, Bill. We got to take a break, but we can unpack. We'll get to that coming up next.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing, but the money still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.